Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herz here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, I want to get your thoughts on the Ray Horton situation, adding to Brian Flores' lawsuit against the National Football League, and more specifically, the comments that have come out from Mike Mularkey that somehow we all missed back in 2020, at least here locally. We all missed these comments in 2020 on a Steelers Realm podcast, basically that he knew he had the job heading into the interview. What do you make of this whole situation, and specifically, what do you think the comments made by Mularkey tells you and says about this process?
Well, first and foremost, I was stunned that we all missed it. Like, I when I listen to the audio, I'm just like, how on earth did this stay buried for, you know, more than a year? And probably the most damning allegations I've ever heard about the Rooney Rule, you know, when you have a former head coach coming out and saying that, you know, ownership told me I had the job. The GM, the sitting current GM, didn't know why I was going through the interview process with him. And, you know, the contrition, and it sounded about as genuine as it could, you know, it sounded, and it was another thing that struck me about it was there was such an open-ended question. You know, they just asked him about any career regrets. And then he dives into this thing that clearly from their response, it sounded like they didn't expect him to bring that to the table. But you know, when he expressed the contrition about knowing people in the process who are going through these interviews and feeling like they had no shot at the job and then calling it a fake interview process. I mean, that's, you know, for the NFL, it's a bit of a nightmare. I think for the organization, it's a bit of a nightmare, which obviously the organization's saying it's not true. I don't, you know, it's a difficult, you know, allegation to prove, but I think it does clearly overlap with the experiences that some of these folks are bringing to the table. You know, Brian Flores, obviously Ray Horton, you know, Steve Wilks talks a little bit about, you know, he joins the suit and he's talking about how he felt like his 1 year in Arizona, you know, he wasn't given a fair shake there. And, you know, I think what it underscores is the Rooney Rule itself, you know, there's flaws there. And, you know, it clearly was part of a problem instead of, you know, the resolution that it hoped to provide. And, you know, I think the NFL, what we've seen the last couple of seasons is what we're going to continue to see. It's a pretty tangled mess. And I do think that this lawsuit, though, is provoking the league to push harder, to take steps to try and remedy, you know, what it clearly sees as a problem that the data obviously supports, that, you know, there's some hiring issues inside the NFL, some nepotism issues. There's a lot of different, you know, things that are tied to this that are starting to come up. And just from being at the last owners meetings, you can tell the league is motivated to attack this thing, you know, either out of fear of that lawsuit or just out of sheer embarrassment.
So if you, I know you love these questions, I'm going to put you in charge, Charles. Charles in charge.
Fun.
Of the Rooney Rule, you can get rid of it, strengthen it any way you want, alter it any way you want. I think we could all agree, like, there's no clear answer to get absolutely this results in the desired outcome. But what would you do?
You're putting me in charge of a decision that they can't even solve, and they're paid millions of dollars. You know, there's people on the payroll making millions of dollars, you know, trying to figure out how to resolve this issue. I don't think it's you know, so far, a lot of what's being done is very bottom up. You know, it's create a larger pipeline, create a pipeline on offense, which is where a lot of NFL hires are coming from. But again, I don't see it being a top down. You know, at what point does the league start to look at this from a top down aspect, you know, ownership in the NFL, because it's ownership is a very, the fraternity that is NFL ownership has not changed significantly over time. When you talk about life experience, when you talk about race, when you talk about politics of, I mean, it's a very similar sort of group of people, and it has remained very similar throughout the years. And from a wealth standpoint, it's remained very similar. And now the NFL is trying to figure out, particularly with the Denver Broncos going up for sale, is there an opportunity here to change some of the dynamics in a room where, you know, heavy-hitting decisions are made? Well, if the Broncos are going up for sale, and already there's rumors that the Walton family, you know, might be taking a crack at this, okay? That's so typical. I mean, that's the NFL. They're going to go out there and they're going to end up courting, you know, the biggest billionaires and the people that already kind of represent that room. I don't know. It's not an easy thing to resolve, and that's why it's going to be a struggle, and it's going to take a lot of years, and it's going to take maybe some things happening organically that we don't understand. I'll give you an example. Like, when I started covering the league 20 years ago, there was still a lot of conversations about black quarterbacks. You know, there's still, you know, I remember, you know, talking to executives, and there was still this idea that, like, hey, you know, this may never really change, even though there's a push for it to change. And what people didn't foresee is what changed on the collegiate level and the NFL's, you know, free feeder system, its free minor leagues, sort of forced the league to change its perception of black quarterbacks, because they were being groomed at a lower level and becoming great players, and the NFL couldn't ignore that. That changed organically below the NFL level. It forced the NFL to change, you know, over a longer timeline. Black executives in the NFL, it's another good example, you know, particularly from the general manager standpoint. You know, I think analytics opened up slots for a number of guys that hold those positions now. I think that you saw more road scouts instead of, for a number of years in personnel departments, a lot of, like, former players would end up, like, on the pro personnel side. And, you know, I guess you can kind of argue or try to figure out why that dynamic occurred. But, you know, some, as they started to end up as road scouts or doing more scouting work, I think it opened up their resume and their ability to ascend into general manager positions as well. So it's I wonder if there are some organic things here that could change and help this situation while the NFL is trying to attack it in a very deliberate kind of way. But I wish I could tell you I could resolve it, but I've written about this for for years and years and years now, and it's, you know, some years it seems a lot worse, and like it's getting worse, and that's how it felt this year. Some years it feels like it's getting better, but over a long enough timeline, not enough has changed.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, obviously just a really tragic situation with Dwayne Haskins over the weekend losing his life at age 24. And we were talking about this yesterday on the show. Like, I was just kind of blown away from the reaction to his death. Anywhere from the Schefter tweet to just the stupidity of the Gil Brandt stuff as well.
Yeah.
It just kind of felt like all day long it was really dehumanizing the event that took place. What was kind of your thoughts on the reaction to Dwayne Haskins and his death at the age of 24?
Yeah, I mean, some of the unfortunate stuff that gets said, we've all worked in this arena long enough to know that sports often is very reductive. And the first way a lot of people measure, you know, anyone in the NFL is based on success or failure. And unfortunately, we saw examples where that was something immediately attached to a tragedy. Someone's football career should not become fodder for framing, you know, a death that is awful. That's terrible. I mean, a guy, you know, he's on the doorstep of turning 25 years old. You can say whatever you want about, you know, Dwayne Haskins' career, but, you know, he's a first-round pick in the NFL. And you know, he changed a lot at Ohio State in terms of the quarterback position. When you look at you know, the level of quarterbacks that they're getting at Ohio State. I mean, he had a pretty big imprint on football in a short period of time. And anything that happened, you know, on the NFL level, it had nothing to do with, you know, the death, what happened. And, yeah, I mean, it sucked to see that. It really did. And thankfully, as time's gone on a little bit, we've seen a lot of people come out who knew him as a person and have added a lot to that picture that I think people lacked before. And I'll be honest with you, like, I've fallen into this trap in the past of using the word bust, which I'm trying to not use. You know, I'm trying to get away from that because it's such a catch-all kind of toxic word for guys. And it often sort of bleeds into what we think about them or what fans think about them, like, as a person. And part of what changed that for me, or at least the effort to try and change it, like, years ago I met Ryan Leaf at a Super Bowl. And I was, like, completely floored by the strides he'd made as a person, you know, his willingness to talk about being flawed, like, all these different things. And I walked away from it feeling really guilty because I'm like, man, for years I kind of hammered this guy about football, hammered him about other things that went on in his personal life, and, you know, never thought about the reality that he could grow. And, you know, I think that's part of the Haskins story, that, you know, we really don't know how much he had grown since he had gone to Pittsburgh. All we know is, you know, what the Steelers are saying publicly now. Another thing, too, about his death, I mean, let's be clear here. We have no clue what happened, okay? Like, even trying to understand what happened that day, I mean, there's such a lack of information out there. So all we know is it's a young guy that died, and, you know, it's devastating for his family and his friends and anyone who reaches that pinnacle of playing in the NFL at the quarterback position, being a first round pick, to have that end at such a young age. I can't even, I mean, I'm not a parent. I can't even imagine how hard it is to lose a child, but let alone you lose a child that worked so hard to, you know, get to that, you know, level of a very, prestigious and prominent place in our culture.
Well, think back to, like, when we were on a college beat together too. I think sometimes about, like, you know, what things said and written over the years. You're like, gosh, you know, you kind of,
yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I think back to, you know, earlier, you know, and I it was funny. I was talking to a couple other guys on a show yesterday and about, like, my 20s and how many cringeworthy things I probably wrote or said. Or, you know, like I said, being really reductive about criticism. And, you know, you get older and you start to realize that these are human beings. And, you know, mental health's become such a big thing now in sports. And it wasn't something that even 20 years ago a lot of people really wanted to talk about. And
ever.
Yeah, ever. And it really just changed. I think a lot of has changed in the landscape where there's still a lot of effort there to look at, you know, players as humans the same way we look at them as players. But I do think that the sort of fallout after Haskins shows that at least the criticism's there to stand up and go, hey, this isn't right, okay? like, let's not do this. Let's not fall into this. And I think that's a good conversation to have, you know, on the heels of this.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You as well. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.